Okay, hello everybody. For those listening who don't know who I am, my name is Levi Gerari. I work at a place called Bina, which is situated North Bondi in Sydney, a center dedicated to adult Jewish education, Torah learning, teaching Torah, shiurim, lectures, classes, etc. This shiur, which I'm about to record, was given at a Tikkun Leil Shavuos program on vaccinations and halacha, but just to make sure that it is clear that this was not recorded on Yom Tov, I am redoing the shiur for the sake of this recording. And just before we begin, I just want to give a few introductions. First of all, very important disclaimer, I am not a doctor, not at all, and therefore any medical advice, one should of course consult a doctor. And I'm neither a poisik. I am not a poisik. I'm not a halachic authority. The point of this shiur is to try and discover and to explain halacha's position when it comes to vaccinations. And I will be hopefully merely just repeating what the great poskim, the great halachic authorities, and Gedolei Yisrael, the great Jewish leaders of our generation and the previous generation, had to say about this topic. What I want to try and do is try and explain their reasoning, try and explain the sources, where it all comes from, and hopefully we'll come to some sort of conclusion what the Torah's view on halacha is. And therefore, just to point out that when I quote medical statistics and scientific statistics, I'm sure there'll be many who would want to argue with those stats and bring me other stats and other experts, etc. But I am merely repeating the stats and the scientific research and the medical research that the poskim, the halachic authorities, and Gedolei Yisrael, the great Jewish leaders of our generation, have accepted as the truth. So this is not a medical shiur, this is not a science shiur, this is a Torah shiur, and obviously we're going to have to bring in what medicine and science has to say, but the idea here is to bring the research that the halachic authorities have accepted as the truth. And that leads me into one final introduction, and that is just to explain a little bit the very idea of discussing Torah's view on a medical subject, because a few people commented to me before I gave the shiur, you know, maybe Rabbonim, rabbis should not be ruling about such things, they should leave this up to science, they should leave this up to medicine. And the answer is that as Torah Jews, Jews who live by the Torah, who live by halacha, who live by Jewish law, Torah has what to say about everything. There's no such thing as an area in life where Torah does not address, and Torah doesn't have what to say, and there's no direction and perspective from Torah. And this is true, and maybe even especially true, when it comes to medical ethics, for example, fertility issues. There is a lot in halacha about that, about what one is allowed to do, what one is not allowed to do, and one would have to consult a competent halachic authority, together with, of course, a doctor, because the halachic authority would need a doctor to explain to him the information. But what needs to be in consultation, together with halachic authority to make the right decisions. And of course, when it comes to end-of-life issues, just because a doctor says something doesn't mean it's halachically acceptable. Whenever there are critical end-of-life issues to be decided, a Torah Jew, a Jew who says that he or she follows the Torah, would have to consult, of course, a doctor, a professional, but together with a competent halachic authority to see what does halacha have to say about all these things. So when it comes to the issue of vaccination, which is an incredibly important issue, of course we need to look at Torah, we need to go back to the sources and see what does Torah have to say about this, what do the Gedolei Yisrael, the leaders of our generation, have to say about this most important issue. So after that introduction, I want to divide the shiur into three parts, just to make sure it's clear. I want to, first of all, discuss halachas, Jewish laws that have to do with medicine and risk and danger, independent of vaccinations. I don't want to get into vaccinations as of yet. I want to just discuss these sources properly, independently, go into them a little bit in depth, and see Torah's view on various medical issues and issues to do with risk and danger that we'll have to connect to vaccinations at the end of this year. The second part of this year, I want to spend a brief amount of time on the medical science, on the research that has been done to date on the vaccination issue. And at the end, the third part of the shiur will be to bring this all together, and after we have the information the way halacha discusses medicine and the way halacha discusses danger, and we have the information the way the scientific community discusses it, then we can put it all together and truly understand what our gedolim, our leaders, our poskim have to say about this most vital issue. So let's begin with the foundation of this all. The obligation to take care of one's health and one's children's health. Now obviously, a regular, normal human being wants to be healthy, and therefore we try and take care of our health. But the truth is, the reason why we take care of our health is not only because it's common sense. We take care of our health because that is what God wants, and it is a mitzvah from the Torah to take care of our health. And the basis for this mitzvah, and really the foundation of everything behind all medical ethics and all halacha to do with medicine, is that our bodies do not belong to us. Now, I'm going to try and post a link to a source sheet which I use by the shir, and if you have the source sheet in front of you, I'm going to translate it in English. It's source number one from the Rambam, from Mishneh Torah, from the Rambam, the laws of murder and preservation of life. And here he's discussing the Jewish law that if a murderer is tried in a Jewish court, obviously this does not apply today, but in ancient times when a Jewish court, Sanhedrin, would rule the land of Israel, and someone, God forbid, murdered somebody, and there were two kosher witnesses, and they were warned, etc., etc., all the qualifications, they would be brought to the high court, and they would be able to be, in extreme circumstances, when all the qualifications were met, be sentenced to death. And the Rambam Iver says that the court is warned not to take a ransom from the murderer, even if they give all of the money in the world, and even if the immediate relatives of the victim agree to this settlement. So they say, you know what, we forgive the murderer, we'll just take money, we'll take a compensation, and let the murderer continue to live. Says the Rambam, you are not allowed to do that. Why? Because he says, she'ein nafshoi shelzeh hanerag, because the life of this person who was killed is not the possession of any relative. It's not the possession of any human being. Elakinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is the possession of the Holy One, blessed be He. It is the possession of God, of Hashem. It is this fundamental idea that our bodies do not belong to us. They are not our own. We can't just do whatever we want with them. That leads us to the mitzvah that we are obligated to take care of our health. We're not allowed to do dangerous things that would endanger one's safety and one's health. And where do we learn that idea from? So this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Simen Tov Chav Zayin, Siv Zayin. It's in the source sheet number 2. Discussing the laws of Micah. Micah is a mitzvah in the Torah that when someone builds a roof and is in such a way that there's a danger that someone will fall off the roof, we are obligated to build a fence. And the Shulchan Aruch extends this idea, the Jewish code of law extends this idea, not only necessarily a roof and a fence, but any situation which is dangerous, any situation which could lead to someone hurting themselves, we are obligated to remove those obstacles. Like it says over here, likewise, just like a person is obligated to build a fence, likewise one has a positive duty, I'm translating, to remove and guard oneself of any life-threatening obstacle. As it is said, and this is really the source of the obligation to take care of oneself, he shomer lecha ushmor nafshecha, which is a pasuk, beware and guard your soul. And if one did not remove these obstacles, one has violated a positive commandment and transgressed, loisosim domim, do not bring blood guilt on yourself. So there we have an obligation to take care of our health. Our bodies do not belong to us. We are obligated to remove any obstacles which are dangerous, which someone can hurt themselves over, and make sure that our areas, our homes, are safe, that no one should hurt themselves because of us. Now, this does not only apply, and this leads us to the next idea, this does not only apply when there's an immediate danger right now. So, for example, when there's an open pit in my garden, and people are walking in and out, I'll be obligated to build a fence around it so no one would fall in. There you see an immediate danger, someone can trip in it and hurt themselves very, very badly. But the truth is, this applies even before the danger becomes a tremendous danger. And here, the source for this, and the context of this, is in the Jewish code of law, Yeredeya Simukuf Tev Zayin Sifhei, where the Ramah, Ramosha Isilish, the Ashkenazi halachic authority in the Jewish code of law, brings a similar idea that we were just discussing before. He says, a person should be careful from anything which brings to danger. Ki, he says, because Sakanta Chamira Mi'isura, we have a rule that when it comes to the laws of danger, when it comes to the laws of removing danger, we are more stringent, we are more strict about those laws than laws that have to do with isura, that have to do with forbidden things. So for example, we're more careful about things that are dangerous, for example, than things that are not kosher. Obviously, we're careful about things that are not kosher as well. But he says, we are more careful. Chamira, sakanto mi isura, we're more careful when it comes. That's how important this mitzvah is, to take care of one's health and to make sure not to get oneself into a situation of danger. Therefore, he says, it's forbidden to walk in any place which is dangerous, for example, under a shaky wall, or to walk alone by night in places where it's dangerous, or to drink water from rivers at night. In those days, they were worried there was some sort of poison, it was dangerous, etc., etc. And then he says that that a person is obligated to run away from a city when there's a plague in the city. But he says, v'yishlotzeis mino ir b'tchilas hadever, a person should run away from the city, should go away from the city at the beginning of the plague, v'loy b'soifoy, and not at the end. In other words, a person could think, why do I have to run away now? I just heard one person was infected, a few people were infected by the plague. Maybe it won't spread, maybe it's not so dangerous. Let me wait and see what happens. If it really spreads and really gets to a dangerous situation, then I'll take my family and we'll run away. No, says the Ramah, you cannot do that. You have to leave right at the beginning of the plague. Why? Because there's a danger which is coming, even a future danger. The plague has just began, hasn't even reached you yet. As soon as it has entered your city, it has started to spread in your city, we are obligated to run away. On this note, the Shaloh HaKadosh, the Holy Shaloh, tells us, and you don't have this in your source sheet, but I'll just quote it for you. It's in Shara Oisius, Ois Dalid, Derech Eretz. And he says the following. He says, I wonder, he says, there's a plague called, he calls it bleterin, which means dots, spots. And he says that it's spreading around. And I don't understand, Loma ein nizhorin el avriach hatinoikis v'latzeisim v'na'ir. Why are people not careful to take their children outside of the city? And then he says something which is very harsh. I wouldn't have said this, but I'm just quoting from the Shalah. He says, "Bevadai," and for sure, "Asidim ha'avos liten din al misois yonkei shodayim shloichatu." The fathers, the parents, will have to give judgment on the death of, on the terrible calamity which has befallen yonkei shodayim shloichatu, which is an expression, people which suckle milk, who have never sinned, and it was the innocent children, gmulei chalav shlei pashul, shemesu b'chay lizeh, rachman al-itzlan, terrible things have happened to them as a result of the sickness, leichoshu aviyem la'avrichan, and their fathers, their parents, didn't worry, didn't take the time, didn't take the trouble to make sure to take them away. And therefore he says, anyone who fears God should be tremble and be very, very careful. I called tsara shlei tovei, that these things shouldn't happen. And anything that has to do with health, he finishes off, a person should be very, very careful about. So, just to summarize what we have over here, in part one over here, and there's an obligation to take care of your health. There's an obligation to make sure that there's nothing dangerous and that no calamity could happen because of you. There's no pits around and there's no dangerous obstacles around. And then we have even furthermore, not only an immediate danger we need to take care of, but we need to even prevent and take ourselves away from a danger which has just began and will continue to spread. Even then, right at the beginning, we are obligated, says the Ramah, to take ourselves away. And as the Shalosh says, a parent is obligated to take their children away from any dangerous situation, even at the beginning of the situation, to make sure that it does not lead to anything terrible from happening. So that's the foundation of everything. There's an obligation to take care of our health and to prevent any future calamity from happening. However, what is considered a health hazard? Step two, what is considered a health hazard in halacha? So for example, let's take a number. Is 1 in 1,000 considered to be a health hazard? Is that considered to be the danger that the Ramo was talking about or the Shaloh was talking about? So we know you have to prevent danger. The question is, what is danger? In halacha, halachically speaking, is 1 in 1,000 that something terrible is going to happen. Is that considered a sakana? Is that considered a danger that I am obligated to worry about? Rav Sternbach, who we'll quote soon, is a leading halachic authority in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim today, and we'll quote his halachic ruling about vaccinations later on in the shir. But regarding this very question about 1 in 1,000, he quotes a Magid Mishnah. And the Magid Mishnah, which is a commentary on the Rambam in the laws of Shabbos, and over there it's talking about the laws of childbirth on Shabbos. Now, just to give a little bit of an introduction, we know, obviously, that any situation of danger of life on Shabbos, we violate the Shabbos. So if there's a situation where somebody may be in a dangerous situation where their life is at stake, we violate the Shabbos. We violate the Shabbos without really hesitating. We don't go looking for a non-Jew to do it. You do it through a Jew. You don't start doing it through what's called a shinui, through a different way or through an alternative way of doing it. No, you just do it the easiest way to get the person to the hospital or the help that they need ASAP, as soon as possible. The exception to this, the interesting exception in halacha, where it is considered somewhat of a dangerous situation, but we try to minimize the desecration of Shabbos, is a woman giving birth. Now, obviously, just a disclaimer, if a woman is giving birth and there is an immediate danger of life, then she's like anybody else who's in danger of life, and of course you can break Shabbos through a Jew in any way, shape, or form. Here we're talking about a regular birth where you know you have time to get to the hospital. A woman is in labor, and of course it's very painful, but it's not necessarily an immediate dangerous situation. The halacha is that, of course, you're allowed to violate the Shabbos to get the woman the help that she needs to give birth, to give birth in a healthy way. But we try to minimize the chilul Shabbos. We try to minimize the desecration of Shabbos. Therefore, there are two ways to do that. Either you do it through what's called a shinui. You deviate from the normal manner. So, for example, instead of, just a typical example, instead of pressing the buttons on the phone with your finger like you normally do, you try to do it with your elbow, let's say. So that's sort of deviating from the normal manner, and then it's not a biblical prohibition, now it's only a rabbinic prohibition, so you've minimized the Chilul Shabbos. Or, for example, you do it through a non-Jew. So many, many religious Jews, when they go to hospital on Shabbos to give birth, they'll try call a non-Jew, a non-Jewish taxi, to take them to the hospital, so at least not violating the Shabbos through a Jew. And the Magen Mishnah had asked the question, why is this the case? If she's in a dangerous situation, so it should be like any other danger. Why do we seem to try and minimize the amount of desecration of Shabbos that we go through for a woman giving birth? And he says, the reason is, and this is in source number 4, V'atam bozeh, the reason is, Nira, Ipnei she'ke'ev ha'yoyledes v'cheveleha heim kedover tivi, because the pain of a woman giving birth and her labor pains are a natural pain, meaning obviously it's incredibly painful, but it's part of the natural order of the world. A woman is created with the capability to go through that. And he says, "Ve'ein achas me'elef mesa machmas leida," and not even 1 in 1,000 women die in childbirth. Now, I would hope that nowadays that number obviously has drastically gone even less than that. But he's saying in those days, it seems to be not even 1 in 1,000 women die in childbirth. Obviously now, it's a lot less than 1 in 1,000. However, what do you see from here? So since it's 1 in 1,000, so we try and minimize the desecration of Shabbos. But what happens if you can't find a non-Jew? What happens if you can't do it in a different way than normal, through a shinui? You do violate the Shabbos through a Jew. If there's no non-Jew to drive the woman to hospital on Shabbos, of course a Jew can drive the woman to hospital on Shabbos. Just that, we try and do it through a non-Jew. But if you can't, you do it through a Jew. What does that tell you? That even though the risk here of something terrible happening is less than 1 in 1,000, nevertheless, we consider this to be a sakonis nefashis, a danger of life, and we are ready to break Shabbos even through a Jew if necessary. We try and minimize it if we can, because it's only 1 in 1,000, but if necessary, we do it through a Jew and in a regular way, full on desecration of Shabbos, which means that even 1 in 1,000 is considered to be. It's considered to be a sakana, it's considered to be a danger that one should worry about. Now, just to point out, this is all when it comes to an individual danger. When it's a danger for an individual person, in this case, an individual woman, but anyone. 1 in 1,000 we consider a sakana. The truth is that when it comes to communal danger, when it comes to a danger which faces an entire community, we worry about even further doubt. Even further statistics. In other words, even if it's less than 1 in 1,000, much less, we would still worry about it and perhaps even be Mechalel Shabbos. What's an example for such a thing? So there's a fascinating response from Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, one of the greatest halachic authorities of the previous generation, this is a complicated case, but I'll just give you the gist of it. There was a religious boy serving me in the IDF, in the Israeli army, and his job, he was part of the intelligence unit, and his job was to hack into foreign computers, foreign systems, and to gain intelligence into the dangers that face Israel. As we know, Israel faces many dangers. However, there were different levels of danger here. I mean, certain countries that he had to hack into and monitor, those were an immediate threat, that was an obvious threat to Israel, and therefore it was obvious that he was allowed to do that on Shabbos, even though it involved going on computers, etc. But since obviously we're talking about saving millions of Jews on Shabbos, he would be allowed to do that. However, the question that he posed to Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was that there are some countries, for example, some far-off country in Africa, which doesn't necessarily pose a threat, but maybe there would be some sort of information that you can get about a different country which does pose a threat. In other words, it's much more far off. The question is, can he or should he be mechallel Shabbos, desecrate the Shabbos, to do that far off, to hack that far off country which may not be necessary? Or should he just wait till Saturday night or to Sunday to do that and not do it on Shabbos? And Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, it's quite a lengthy answer here, but the idea, the point here is that since we're talking about pikuach nefesh, a danger of life, of a rabbim, of a community, and in this case, a huge community, close to millions and millions of Jews who live in the land of Israel, therefore, he is obligated to monitor even something which may be a useful information for the safety of Israel, even though it may not seem so that it is. In other words, even though it's very far off that it will be necessary to do it, nevertheless, when it comes to the danger of a community, we worry about even less than 1 in 1,000 chance of danger. We worry about much, much more than that, even if it's a far off chance that maybe because of what he's doing, he may save Jews in the land of Israel, therefore he's allowed to do that. So you see that when it comes to an individual, 1 in 1,000 is definitely enough to call it a sakana, a danger, so much so that we even violate the Shabbos for that. Violate the Shabbos for a woman giving birth, even though the Magid Mishnah's times, it was 1 in 1,000. And for sure, when it comes to a community danger, a danger which is posed against an entire community, then for sure you would violate the Shabbos for even less than 1 in 1,000, because there you're talking about the danger of many, many people. And as Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says, we worry about even a far-off danger. So we have so far the obligation that we have to take care of our health. We have so far that 1 in 1,000 is considered to be a danger that we're obligated to take care of. But now the question is, who determines what is dangerous? What happens if you have something which some people say it's a danger, some people say it's not a danger? Who do we listen to? How do we know what is actually a danger? So certain things are clear. Obviously, if you have a pit, open hole in the middle of your garden, that's dangerous. There you don't have to come on to a professional. But the question is, what happens if you have a situation where it's not 100% clear? Who determines what a danger is that we would then be obligated to do something about it? So here we have, again, everything is in Torah, in the Jewish code of law, Shulchan Aruch Erudea, Simin Shin Lamed Vav, in the laws of a doctor. And the Shulchan Aruch says as follows, quoting a Gemara, Nosna Torah Rishus, this is source number 5, L'roifa L'rapois, the Torah gives permission for a doctor to heal. And, I mean, that seems to be obvious. Obviously, we can go to a doctor, but it's not so obvious. Maybe a person would think that if God makes me sick, then I just need to be sick. This is what God wants, and let God take care of it. But no, the Torah says, V'rapa Yirapa, we learn from the Pasuk, that the Torah gives permission to a doctor to heal. And then he says, U'mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. It goes under the rule of saving an endangered life. And then he says, if a doctor withholds treatment, this is considered murder. However, he says, a person should not be misasek, should not occupy himself with medical treatment, in other words, to administer to be a doctor, unless he is an expert, and there's no one else greater than him. Sheim Eloikim, because if not, is a shoifich domim, he's also a murderer. So, a qualified doctor who withholds treatment is a murderer. An unqualified doctor who administers treatment is also considered a murderer in halacha. And then the Shulchan Aruch says an interesting thing. If they heal, if a doctor administers healing without the permission of the court, of the Bezdin, which is a Jewish court, Chayiv b'tashlumin, he is obligated to pay, afilu imhu boki, even if he is an expert. And the question is, what does that mean, that you heal with the permission of the court? Nowadays, our laws are not governed, at least societal laws are not governed by a Bezdin. We don't walk into a doctor's office and ask to see a certificate from the local Bezdin. So what does that actually mean? So the Aruch HaShulchan, a great halachic authority, passed away in 1908. He lived in Lithuania, a great accepted halachic authority, says as follows. He quotes what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that there are two qualifications to be a doctor. You need to be an expert, and you have to have permission from the Bezdin. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, this is source number 6, Aruch HaShulchan Yerodei Hashim Lamed Vav, he says, V'ha'idna, nowadays, Tzorech Liyos Musmach, the doctor needs to be certified, licensed from the government. That they have permission to give healing, to give medicine to sick people. Now, this is a very interesting psak. Shri Zorach HaShulchan is saying that halachically speaking, what is considered a doctor? What is a doctor who halacha would rely on? Number one, an expert. So they have to know what they're talking about. And number two, they have to be certified, they have to be licensed by the government. And I highly doubt that the Aruch HaShulchan, where he lived, the government was, you know, less corrupt than the government that we live under. I mean, you know, he didn't live in the same society that we live in. So, I mean, it's not that we're giving faith necessarily in the government, but there has to be some sort of system. How do we know that this is a person is a good doctor? So the Aruch HaShulchan says that how do we know a person is a good doctor? When they're licensed by the government, they have a license, they are registered as a doctor by the government to administer healing. So now we know who has the authority, halachically speaking, to determine danger. That is somebody who is an expert, a baki, and licensed by the government. Here, we fall into another complication. What happens if you have one doctor saying one thing and another doctor saying another thing? So we know that a doctor has to be licensed and has to be an expert. But what happens if you have two doctors who meet those qualifications and one say one thing and one say another thing? Who do we listen to? So here, we also have a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in the Jewish code of law, regarding the laws of Yom Kippur. And here it says like this. If you have a sick person and one doctor saying that a person who's fasting on Yom Kippur and they get sick, and obviously we know that if there's a danger of a person's life on Yom Kippur, then they're allowed to break their fast if it's truly dangerous. And therefore, if you have the sick person and one doctor saying, in other words, the person who we're talking about, and the doctor saying that this person does not need to eat, and you have one doctor saying that they do need to eat, or another example, says you have one doctor saying that this person needs to eat, or and two doctors saying that the person does not need to eat, then you don't give them to eat. So in other words, you go according to the majority of doctors. But then the next halacha says, if you have two doctors saying that this person does need to eat, they don't eat, something terrible is going to happen. Says the Shulchan Aruch, even if you have 100 doctors saying that they don't need to eat, even if the sick person himself or herself is saying that they don't need to eat, nevertheless, you give them to eat. Why? It's a minority of doctors. Nevertheless, when it comes to danger, we're going to worry even about a minority. So you have two doctors saying this person needs to eat now, even though it's Yom Kippur. We have 100 doctors saying it doesn't need to eat. We'll listen to the two doctors. So it seems to be that we don't go after the majority. However, Rav Sternbach points out, this is talking about when do you go after the minority of doctors? Only when the majority of doctors over here agree that if this person would eat, it wouldn't be dangerous. In other words, the argument here between the doctors is only, does this person have to eat right now? Two say he has to, 100 say they don't have to. But even the 100 agree that if this person would eat, nothing would happen to them. They would probably say it would be even better. Just we're saying that they don't that this person does not have to eat. So, for example, if you would have a piece of food or something in front of a person, two doctors are saying that if this person eats it, it will be dangerous. It's dangerous for this person to eat this. And you have 100 doctors saying that if this person does not eat it, it will be dangerous. Says Rav Sternbach, you would follow the majority of the doctors in that case. Why? Because there you have a clear dispute. Two doctors are saying something is dangerous. 100 doctors are saying that if you don't have it, it's dangerous. So then you would fall onto the general principle of the Torah that we go after the majority. So although it seems to imply in this halacha, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, that we go after the minority, but that's only because the majority are not arguing with the minority that what the minority is saying is dangerous. They're just saying that the minority is saying is not necessary. But not, they're not saying they're not saying that what the minority of doctors are saying are dangerous. If there would be a dispute about is something dangerous or not, one says if you do have it, it's dangerous. The majority say if you don't have it, it's dangerous. You would definitely listen to the majority in such a case, because generally speaking, the Torah law is we listen to the majority. The only reason why in this law in Yom Kippur we listen to the minority is because even the majority agree that if you go after the minority, nothing bad is going to happen. So to summarize, in order to give a medical opinion in halacha, in order to be halachically accepted as a doctor, you need to be an expert and you need to be registered, certified by the government. And in the case we have a dispute amongst doctors, you go after the majority of doctors. That seems to be a clear halacha. Just to end off this section of the shir with one more idea, which is going to be relevant when we come to vaccinations, and that is the concept called Shomer Psoyim Hashem. That literally means God guards the fools, which means we know that we're not allowed to do risky things, like we said. However, we all do risky things. We all get into cars, we all go on planes, we all walk in the street. And we know, unfortunately, Rahman al-Itzlan, people get into car accidents, people get into, God forbid, plane accidents. These things happen. So why are we allowed to, why are we permitted to go into cars, to drive a car, and to walk on the street when people get run over, and we'll go into planes when planes crash? So the concept is that a risk that has been accepted into society as the norm, we say, God will guard you. Shomer Psoyim Hashem. Hashem guards the fools. Hashem, so to speak, runs the world based on the way we do. So if society has accepted that it is normal to get into a car, it is societally an accepted normal risk, then we say it's fully permitted and we don't even consider it a risk in halacha. In fact, there's a fascinating response from Moshe Feinstein. Someone asked him if you're allowed to play sports as a profession. We're not getting into the ethical question, the moral question. It's getting simply the halachic question. Although there are terrible risks, people who play sports professionally tend to get injured and suffer from different things. But the Igros Moshe says, since it's become normal, it's an accepted risk. Shomer Psoyim Hashem, or another expression which is used, Fardoshu Barabim. Many people have already trampled there, literally. In other words, society has gone there, we've been there, done that, it's normal, it's accepted, therefore we're allowed to accept such risks. So just to summarize this part one of the shir, we so far have that there's an obligation to take care of one's health, to remove any immediate danger. We have that even a danger which is coming or started but is going to come further, come in the future, we are obligated to prevent it from happening or to remove oneself from that situation. And that obligation includes removing one's children from that situation. We have who decides what's dangerous, a doctor who's a baki, an expert, and it was certified and licensed by the government. And we have, if there's a dispute between doctors, we listen to the majority of doctors, unless the majority agree with the minority that it's not dangerous. And then we have the concept of Shomer Psoyim Hashem, that Hashem guards the fools. Hashem guards the fools, and therefore something which has societally been accepted as a normal accepted risk, we're allowed to do halachically, and there is no problem. Okay. Now we come to part two of the shir, and this is probably, of course, I imagine, the most controversial. And that is because I'm going to bring you now stats which If you're listening and you're an anti-vaxxer, your anti-vaccinations, you'll probably dispute these stats. But again, the reason why I'm bringing these statistics is because these are the statistics which have been quoted in the poskim, in the halachic authorities, and have been accepted by them. So this is purely a halacha shir, and therefore I'm bringing them, and where the point of here is to try and figure out what is the halacha in this issue. So we know, of course, that the purpose of a vaccine is to prevent disease. And if you look from the World Health Organization, their stats and their graphs, you'll see that I'm looking at one right now. In the 1980s, the number of cases of measles worldwide was over 4 million. And we have 1981, it was like 4.5 million. And the graph shows you here when people started to vaccinate against measles. And you see an unbelievable drastic decline in the cases of, as the line goes up, of the amount of people, amount of coverage, immunization coverage goes up, the rate of the disease drastically goes down. And the same thing applies to all the other diseases of rubella, and mumps, and polio, and all of these things. It seems pretty clear from the vast majority of research, from the vast majority of scientific journals, from the vast majority of doctors, and the vast majority of scientists, that the vaccinations, introducing vaccinations into society has drastically decreased the amount of these diseases. Now, a person can ask, so let us get these diseases. I mean, who says they're so bad? So here are, again, stats which are quoted in the poskim and the halachic authorities, but actually I've verified them with doctors. But again, these are the stats which have been accepted by G'dayli Yisrael. 1 in 4 people who contract measles will be hospitalized. And then there's complications which are associated with measles. For example, pneumonia. 1 out of 20 children with measles get pneumonia, and that's a terrible disease. 1 out of 1,000 children get encephalitis. Out of these, 15% will die. 25 to 35% are left with permanent neurological diseases like deafness or intellectual disability. Then we have death due to measles. 2 out of every 1,000 children with measles die. This is not only in third world countries. Approximately 40% of deaths attributable to vaccine-preventable diseases of childhood occur in developed countries like Australia. The flip side to this is, of course, every medical procedure has a risk. There's no such thing as doing something without risk. So the question is, what is the risk? So there are regular reactions that happen to vaccines. Many children get them, like a mild fever or a cold. That's not what we're worried about here. We're talking about serious reactions to vaccinations. So the stats are that within 2 months after vaccinations, estimated 1 in 40,000 vaccinated people will get the serious reaction to vaccination. And then we have the same sort of statistics about mumps and rubella and all of these things. When it comes to the MMR vaccination, which is for mumps, measles, and rubella, there were no deaths reported resulting from the administration of the MMR vaccine in an Australian study, which is where the share is being given, involving vaccination of 1.7 million children. So no deaths in 1.7 million children. There was only one anaphylactic reaction. The rate of seizures was 0.30 in 10,000. So very, very minimal risk. So the risk of getting the disease is extremely high. As we saw, as I mentioned before in the graphs, that as soon as vaccinations were introduced, the rate of these diseases dropped drastically. The danger of these diseases are pretty high, and the risk of the vaccinations are extremely low, according to all of these statistics. So the question is, where did the whole anti-vax sentiment come from? So it all started from a doctor by the name of, he was actually stripped of his medical license later, by a person by the name of Andrew Wakefield. Andrew Wakefield did a study, and in his study, he came to that there's a link between vaccinations and autism. Now, what's important to understand is this. That study has been debunked. In 1999, a study of 500 children were done, no connection was found. In 2001, a study of 10,000 children, still no connection. In 2002, a study from Denmark of 537,000 children found no connection between autism and vaccinations. And then we have in 2005, a review of 31 studies covering more than 10 million children also found no connection. And again, all the studies that have been done, the majority of studies, overwhelming majority of studies that have been done, and the accepted studies and journals and scientific studies that have been done have found no link to autism in any case in all of the studies. Just to show you the danger of what happens when people stop vaccinating. In the United States, in the 1960s, there were over 100,000 cases of measles. Then, widespread vaccinations were introduced. That dropped to 23,000 in 1980 and the 1970s. In 1980s, 26,000, also very low, relatively speaking. Wakefield's paper was published. By 2012, there were 48 doubles. So we just got double now. 48,000 cases of measles, of whooping cough, and 20 deaths in the United States. Just to explain the benefit of vaccinations, before widespread vaccinations of babies worldwide, in 1980, 2.6 million deaths from measles. This is worldwide. In 2000, approximately 500,000 deaths were reported from measles. 72% of babies were vaccinated, so we just dropped to a quarter. And in 2012, every death is obviously a tragedy, I shouldn't say only, but drastic decrease, 122,000 deaths reported from measles. And then, 84% of babies were vaccinated. So from all these stats, and again, I bring these stats because these are the stats which are scientifically accepted. They're accepted by the vast majority of doctors in the medical community. And they're, as we'll see, accepted by the vast majority of Poskim. That vaccinations have had a tremendous benefit in preventing disease. And not vaccinating has within it tremendous danger because these diseases are dangerous and the danger is significant. And the danger of the vaccination itself are minimal. Which now brings us to the third part of the shir. And that is what the halachic authorities have to say about this. Now, let me just first bring the one source that will counter everything I'm about to say. And I'm actually not going to bring it in the name of the people who signed this letter. And the reason is because it is signed by some great people, some great Gedolei Yisrael, and far be it from me to be mezalzel, to degrade great sages, great halachic authorities. That is not the point at all of this shir. It's just that the vast majority, as we will soon see, of halachic authorities disagree with these two. And in this letter, which is dated the 29th of Tishrei, Tavshin Ayin Hei, that's quite a few years ago, they say that the Torah commands that a person has to guard their health, and therefore they say that the benefits and risks of vaccination is a much debated topic in medical and scientific circles. Although one may follow the opinion of most doctors and choose to vaccinate his children, the individual who has done his research has the obligation to act accordingly to his knowledge. And therefore, he says, they say, the rabbis who signed this letter, if the research has led him to understand that the risks of vaccinations are greater than its benefits, then they are commanded to follow the command of protecting one's health, and therefore they do not have to vaccinate their children. Not only that, they say, schools have to honor that, and therefore they're not allowed to not accept children as a result of their being unvaccinated. This is signed by a few rabbis, but there are two great names signed to this letter. By the way, I should mention, there is one name which I will mention, signed by a person by Rav Aaron M. Schechter, who's the Rosh Hashiva of Chaim Berlin, who actually wrote a letter in a few years after this, in Tavshin Ayin Tes, this year, retracting his position. So one rabbi who signed has actually retracted the position, but two of them still hold that way. Now, having said that, the overwhelming majority of halachic authorities and sages disagree with this. And in fact, Rav Sternbach, who's a great, as I mentioned before, a great authority, he lives in Jerusalem, he wrote a letter to one of the rabbis who signed that letter that I just mentioned, explaining to him why halachically he disagrees with him. And basically, the entire shiur that I've given, a lot of it was based on that letter. And let's go back to all the halachic qualifications which we brought before. A person is obligated to take care of their health. We know that. A person is obligated to take care of their children's health. We know that. A person is obligated to prevent a disease from spreading, either prevent disease from spreading or go away from that situation. We got that. Who decides what's dangerous? A qualified doctor licensed by the government. This idea that a person should read an article or read 100 articles or even 1,000 articles on Google and based on that make a medical decision is, as the halachic authorities point out, is opposite of halacha, is going against halacha to do such a thing. A person is not allowed to make medical decisions on their own. In order to make a medical decision, one needs to go to a qualified expert doctor who has been licensed, as we said, by the Aruch HaShulchan, licensed by the government. Parents doing their own individual research, it's a nice thing to do. One should do that. But making a decision based on one's own research and they're not qualified as a doctor, according to virtually all, besides for the two that we did not mention their names that signed the letter before, virtually all halachic authorities, one is not allowed to do that. We have to listen to the opinion, as we said, when there's a disagreement, the majority of doctors, the majority, the overwhelming majority of licensed doctors hold that it is an absolute must to vaccinate children and it prevents diseases. So Rav Sternbach clearly rules that there is an obligation to vaccinate one's children. Not only that, he says that just like it would be permitted for me to say that I don't want you smoking where I'm around because it's dangerous for me to inhale my smoke, therefore it is permitted if a school would want to not accept unvaccinated children. And I should qualify, what I mean by that is children who are able to be vaccinated. There are children who unfortunately are sick or who have compromised immune systems and cannot be vaccinated. They actually rely on what's called in the medical world, herd immunity, which means that they're relying on everyone else to be vaccinated. Obviously, that he's not talking about them. We're talking about healthy children who are able to be vaccinated. A school is allowed to, says Rav Sternbach, refuse admission to those children because, as we said, they pose a danger to the rabbin, to the many. And as we brought from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when we're talking about a danger to many people, we are worried about even lesser risks than we are when it's only a danger to an individual. As I mentioned, Rav Aaron M. Schechter from the Rashiva of Chaim Berlin, he retracted his position, and there's a letter. I will hopefully post a link together with the Shir on Facebook with all these letters of signed rabbis. Then we have a long letter signed by Rav Yisrael Belsky, of Yaakov Vorsheimer, of Shmuel First, of Shlomo Gissinger, of Sucha Binim Koyen, of Gabriel Finkel, of Moshe Rabin, it's all great rabbis also saying that we recognize that it is a medical fact that the universal immunization program in the US has drastically reduced the hundreds of thousands of dangerous and life-threatening diseases. And then they say, for this reason, we believe that all parents have the responsibility to immunize their children and themselves, and that it is incumbent on the leadership of the klal, the community, to ensure that all children are immunized and that vulnerable individuals are protected against potential carriers of diseases. He says, the community has a right and obligation to protect itself from potential danger. In such, we believe that school administrators, daycare providers, and other caring for children have the right and moral responsibility to screen children for immunization status and exclude medically eligible unimmunized children from schools, daycare groups, or any other public venue in which such potential carriers may expose vulnerable individuals. Again, that's signed by many rabbis. There's a great Rav Poisek who's accepted by many communities, not only in the Haredi community, but in other communities as well, by the name of Rav Osher Weiss. He's an expert in medical halacha especially, and he clearly rules that it is an absolute obligation to vaccinate children. And this, I'm going to list now a whole list of sages and halachic authorities from all cross-sections of the community. There was a terrible gathering in Williamsburg run by anti-vaxxers, and there was a person who got up to speak who called himself a rabbi, although it was revealed afterwards that it's questionable his rabbinic status, and he said some terrible racist things about the mayor of New York and bigoted things, and obviously spoke against vaccinations. The Satmar Rebbe, came out full force against this. First of all, he protested against the things that this person said against the New York mayor. He said we're responsible to respect the government. And then he says, regarding the essential question, Al pip kudas chakmoron admur shlita, according to the command, the instruction of the Rebbes. This was written by the community leaders, but quoting their Rebbe, farhoiru betoikif, he already has said with strength, shechiyuv, it's an obligation on all the parents to see to it that the children receive their vaccinations. And we can go on and on here. In Toronto, there was a whole list of rabbis, basically from all cross-sections of the community, who signed what's called a Kol Koira, a proclamation that all parents are obligated to vaccinate their children. In Chicago, there was a whole list of rabbonim who signed the letter as well, etc., etc. Now, how about Rav Eliyashiv and Rav Chaim Kanievsky? Rav Eliyashiv, who just passed away recently, one of the greatest halachic authority of our generation. Rav Chaim Kanievsky is considered also one of the greatest halachic authorities of our generation. So there is a letter going around, signed by somebody who says that he asked Rav Chaim Kanievsky this question. And Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that a school is not allowed to refuse children who are unvaccinated. Now the truth is, that is actually a separate question to the vaccination question. There's two questions. Is there an obligation to vaccinate children? Question one. Question two, is a school allowed to refuse admission to a child who's unvaccinated? So the person who wrote this letter claims that Rav Chaim Kanievsky told him that a school is not allowed to refuse admission to children who are unvaccinated. However, Rabbi Akiva Tatz, who is a great rabbi, a great speaker, he is also an expert in medical ethics and medical halacha. He's done interviews and he said that he sent someone to ask Rav Chaim Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky clearly said that it is an obligation for parents to vaccinate their children. Same thing about Rav Eliyashiv. He says that he sent someone to ask Rav Eliyashiv. And Rav Eliyashiv clearly ruled that based on all the medical research and the scientific research, it is an obligation to vaccinate children. Okay. Then we have, I just want to share with you, a few letters by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who obviously many people asked him advice when it came to medical questions. And just to say something interesting, the Rebbe was not known necessarily for embracing every single medical idea. Certain things he sort of went with precaution. He said, let the research a little better. But when it comes to vaccinations, to me, it seems absolutely clear what the Rebbe's view was. I'll just read to you just two examples. First letter, I am surprised by your question. Since so many individuals from the land of Israel have asked me about this, and I have answered them in the affirmative. So the Rebbe is saying that they have to vaccinate, since the overwhelming majority of individuals do so here in the United States successfully. Then he says, understandably, if there are different choices, you should obviously do the one that has been safely tried and proven. In the spring of 1956, I'm reading this off an article of Chabad.org, in reply to your letter in which you ask my opinion about the injections that are commonly given to young children, it is regard to matters such as these that the axiom, do not set yourself apart from the community, applies. You should act accordingly to that which is done by the parents of the majority of children who are in your children's classes. It's clear that the majority of parents do vaccinate their children, in which case the instruction here would be to vaccinate children. By the way, I should mention that when Rabbi Akiva Tatz asked Rabbi Eliyashiv, Rabbi Eliyashiv's ruling was based on a similar principle that we mentioned before of Pshoim Repsoim Hashem, of Hashem guards the fools from risks. Although there is there a minimal risk when it comes to vaccinating? Of course there is. There's a risk in everything. There's a risk in getting in a car. But however, this is a risk which has been an acceptable risk, and therefore, al pi halacha, halachically speaking, is not considered a risk. Fardoshul barabim, said Rav Eliyashiv, many people have already done it, and therefore there's no reason to be worried about the risk contained within vaccinating children. And it seems to be that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is saying a similar idea. Everyone is doing it. This has been acceptable. This is what we should do. In 1957, there were instances where faulty shots actually brought about the illness of polio. And the Rebbe wrote to somebody, the event that occurred in the United States was at the beginning of the use of these vaccines, before the exact medical compound was definitely established. This is not the case at present, after months of experience with the vaccine. Therefore, once the vaccine's reliability is firmly established, there is no worry, to the contrary. To me, these are three letters which are clearly saying that, according to him, there is an obligation to or at least that person definitely should vaccinate, according to his advice, should definitely vaccinate children. If Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says an unbelievable chiddush, he says that if one has reasonable concern, and I'm reading this off Chabad.org, so I haven't actually looked it inside, but this is what they quote from him, rules that if one has reasonable concern of the dangers of not being vaccinated, and the only chance to be immunized is on Shabbat, then immunizations will be permitted on Shabbat. Now, this is obviously a theoretical question. Of course, a person should try and do it during the week. But theoretically, if the only opportunity that one would have to be immunized would be on Shabbos, you would be able to violate the Shabbos in order to be immunized. That's how important this is. So, in conclusion, just to wrap this all together, and to explain why the overwhelming majority of halachic authorities, like I've pointed out, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Rav Eliyashiv, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Osher Weiss, Rav Sternbach, and many, many more names as we quoted before, all say that it is an obligation to vaccinate children. Many of these also say, not all, but many of them say, that a school has the right to refuse admission to children, and this is a big deal. To refuse admission to a child to school to learn Torah, it has to be a very, very big deal. And nevertheless, overwhelmingly, they all say that a school is allowed to do that. The reasoning behind all of this, based on everything we said, is understood. A person has an obligation to take care of their health and their children's health. They have an obligation to prevent diseases from spreading and to take care of it at the very beginning. Who decides what's dangerous? A licensed doctor, an expert doctor. And again, in this field, in this topic, the overwhelming majority of doctors and scientists and again, registered doctors have come to the conclusion that vaccinations are safe. Yeah, of course, there is always a risk in everything. But, however, going on to the rule of Shoim Repsoim Hashem, that Hashem guards the fools, and when a risk is so minimal and has become so accepted in society, we don't even consider it a risk, like we all get into cars or we all get into planes. And of course, when there's a dispute amongst doctors, we follow the majority of doctors. It is because of all of this that virtually all halachic authorities have come to the conclusion that it is an obligation to vaccinate children. Yes, there are one or two who haven't, but again, I'm not a poisik, I'm not a halachic authority, but if you just want to use the klolei hapsak, the rules of paskening a shaila, you want to take the overwhelming majority opinion versus an extreme minority opinion, it would seem to me and seem to, again, it's not about me, but it seems to be that the halacha would be that we're obligated to vaccinate our children following the overwhelming majority of psak, of ruling from the halachic authorities, the Gedolei Yisrael, the great people of our generation. Just to reiterate what I started off with, this is not a medical shir, this is a halacha shir. And therefore, the idea here is that as Torah Jews, this notion that Rabbonim, sages, halachic authorities should not get involved in this is of course wrong. Halachic authorities get involved in everything, including medical ethics. It's just that when it comes to these topics, they do it in conjunction with doctors, as we brought from the Jewish code of law, from Shulchan Aruch. You have to follow the opinion of doctors, and they have. They have done their research, and they have come to this conclusion. And as Torah Jews, of course, we should feel ourselves as obligated to follow their view, follow their opinion, and Hashem should help. They should make sure, we should all daven that Hashem should help, that our children should all be healthy, and everyone should be healthy and well, and through following the Torah ruling, through following the Torah direction, the brachas of the Torah, the brachas of halacha, will, Emirtz Hashem, protect us. Have a wonderful day.